our last storyteller, let me find my place here, was born in 1974 in a hospital in Minnesota and later returned to another hospital in Minnesota. He's had dozens of jobs, including dishwasher, lotion salesman, wilderness guide, and psychotherapist. And now he's here. The title of his story is While I'm Here. Please welcome Mark Sandberg.
Hello. I'm just going to move this over a little bit. I feel more comfortable walking around. This is the first time I've been to one of these. This is wonderful. Wow. What a delight. It was the turn of the century. I was in my 20s, and I worked at a place called Widgiewagon, Camp Widgiewagon. Some of you may have heard of it. It's in northern Minnesota on the border of Canada, next to the Boundary Waters. And I worked there for about 5 years and doing outdoor education and leading trips, backpacking, canoeing trips, including one of the trips I did was the 9 Mile Grand Portage to Lake Superior with Wood Canvas canoes. And I was feeling good. I was feeling strong. I was over 180 pounds, you know, trying to get ripped and shooting for even more, but I didn't get there. And I felt invincible, and I was living in a beautiful place with beautiful people, and I just really loved it. And I felt great until one day I didn't feel so great. In October of 2000, I started to feel this pain in my stomach, and I thought, it's probably just a virus. I get those sometimes. No big deal. But it got stronger, and it was this pain, this deep pain in the middle of my stomach, right around my belly button. And I had a pretty high pain tolerance, and I thought I could just pull through. And so I just pushed on and just kept going. Another day passed. And wasn't getting any better. And I lived in a cabin with no running water and had an outhouse. But there's some bathrooms that were a little bit farther away. And I was feeling the need to use those instead. So I was in such pain. I had a baseball bat that I used for a cane because I was in too much pain to not use it. So I was walking slowly down the gravel road of camp. To use plumbing, which was nice that it was there. And this went on, like I said, for several days. And finally, I was thinking, man, I got to do something about this. So nowadays, I would just look up. I would diagnose myself using Google. But back then, I used the Merck manual. Some of you may know what that is. It's a medical manual. And I also had a wilderness first responder certification. So I had 10 days of training, so I was pretty much a doctor. Anyway, so I looked up what was going on with me, what the symptoms were, and I figured it out. And I thought, okay, I got to figure this out. I'm going to do some things. And may or may not have included some laxatives and some other treatment. And this was not a good idea. That night, I ended up on the bathroom floor of a common space all by myself, alone, in a sad, sad old building, and the best word to describe it would be writhing. I was really writhing on the floor in a lot of pain, all by myself. And I don't know how long I was there, but much of the night. And I remember feeling or thinking to myself, "This is what it feels like to die." And the next day, I woke up, and that pain started to go away. The pain wasn't as strong, and I thought, I did it. I cured myself. I'm good. I wasn't totally out of the woods yet, no pun intended. But it was still, so there was still some sickness there, and I thought, okay, well, it'll pass. A day went by, another day went by. And about 5 days later, I thought I'd go get something to eat because I'd hardly eaten anything. This had been over a week and a half. I'd lost a lot of weight. And I walked into the dining hall and I looked, and something about the lights in there, I just felt like, this isn't right. Everything looked really blurry. And I thought, this is not normal. I felt better here, but here, I was starting to feel worse. And so I was encouraged to go see the doctor, and I hadn't wanted to go see the doctor because I didn't have health insurance, and I had a high pain tolerance anyway, like I said. And I didn't have health insurance, and I was making maybe $30 a day, and that was, I didn't want to spend a fortune like $100 on going to see the doctor. So, but I was finally encouraged to go, and my friend Ryan Savalainen, he drove me because I was incapable of driving myself. And I went to the doctor. He did some palpitations. You know, is that the right word? I don't remember. He squished my stomach with his hand. And it was hard. And he did another exam. I had to turn around. And there was a latex glove. I'll spare details. And that one hurt a lot. I felt an immense amount of pain. And he said, okay, I think I know what's going on. I think you have a ruptured appendix. And the best calculation, looking back, I think it had been about 6 days since I was writhing on the floor, which is, I think that was my appendix rupturing. And then I went another 6 days. And now it looked, using Google now, not Merck manual, I looked up and it's, I forget if there's any doctors in the house, you know, correct me. I think after 4 days, it says it's almost always fatal if your appendix ruptures. Maybe it's five. But anyway, not good. So he said, you need to have emergency surgery right now. So we didn't have time to go back and get stuff. But we did have time to get gas, going on our way to Virginia, Minnesota, which is about 45 minutes away. While Ryan's pumping the gas, I say, well, I'm going to call my mom and let her know what's up. So there's a payphone, had a calling card, which I used back then. Called my mom. I said, hey, Mom, I'm going to have emergency surgery in Virginia, Minnesota. And being a mother, she laughed. Yeah, right. I had pranked her so many times throughout my whole life. She was a nurse, and I would call her and pretend I was an old man, saying, like, I need to see somebody. I've got terrible constipation. She couldn't break character. She couldn't pretend. You know, she had to act like it was a real patient. So, because, you know, she didn't want to believe it was me. So it was really fun to mess with her. Anyway, I'd cried wolf too many times, and she didn't believe me until she could hear silence on the other line, and she could tell that I was crying. And she knew it was for real. And she said, oh, honey, I'm so sorry. I'll be there tomorrow. She drove up from Iowa. And then I thought, I've got time. I'm going to go talk to my friend Henry across the street. Henry is a belt maker. And don't worry, this is his belt. This is the belt Henry made. I wore it to remember him today. He was a belt maker in Ely next to the Chocolate Moose and Paragus, if you've ever been up there. And he was a great guy. He's no longer with us, unfortunately. But I said, Henry, I'm going to have emergency surgery in Virginia. And he said, okay, I've had surgery before. I got two pieces of advice for you. First, talk to a social worker as soon as you can, because this, if you don't, it's going to get real expensive. And they're going to hook you up with some insurance retroactively. And that was turned out to be a really great piece of advice. And he said, number two, tell them you're allergic to codeine, so they'll give you something stronger. Okay. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Henry. Said goodbye. Still had time, I guess. So anyway, we got in the car. We got down to Virginia, Minnesota. Got in the emergency room. They knocked me out with a bunch of drugs and sliced me open. Nowadays, they can do a laparoscopic. If it's not an emergency, it's just a little hole. But I have this 4-inch gash in my right around here. Sometimes if we're swimming, you know, then I might show you, but I'm not going to do that right now. Don't worry. So I wake up to the sound of a bell. I think it's the Wheel of Fortune. It's not, unfortunately. It's just the sound of the hospital. And then the next thing I know, I'm up in my room, and then I'm out of it. I fall asleep. They've given me this morphine drip. I just like push a button, and I get a bunch of morphine. I wake up the next day, and my family's there. It's so good to see my mother and my family and friends visiting. And really, I do think that was amazing and really a healing, very, very healing thing to feel all that love. And then the surgeon came in. I really liked him, actually. He was a really nice guy, but he came up to me and he said, "I'd like to speak with Mark alone here for a minute." I think he didn't want my mother to hear this. So he shut the door and he walks up to me and he says, "You should have died." It sounded kind of awkward, but he really wanted me to understand that it was really unlikely that I had survived. He said, "If I was in your shoes, I wouldn't have made it." He said, I think the only reason you made it was because you were physically fit and your body could take a hit. And you're really lucky to be here." And that really hit me. I knew it was serious, but I really knew it was even more so at that point. And like I said, I was on morphine, so I wasn't seeing things clearly. And I looked at my chart and I see the word colostomy. And I thought, oh no, I know I've got tubes coming out of me and I don't know what's going on down there. But a colostomy bag, oh man. I thought, of course I have one. I have a scatological sense of humor and I make fun of everything scatological, including colostomy bags. So forgive me. But I thought, of course I'll have one of those. But that's okay. I'm really just glad, you know, I'm thankful to be alive and, I'll take it, whatever. But the nurse looked at it and she said, "No, that says colectomy." Oh, okay, no big deal. That just means they took a piece of my colon out because it was dead. Okay. But don't worry, if you're wondering, everything works fine in that area, all good. So I did not have a colostomy, and I was very thankful, although I was ready and fully prepared to have one for the rest of my life. I took inventory of what was going on for me. Like I said, I had a big gash here, and it was oozing. It could not be sewn up fully, because there was so much infection in my body. It had to be left open for weeks. And my skin was yellow, and my eyes were yellow. I was jaundiced, and it was a severe systemic infection. I lost maybe 40 pounds. I was really thin and still kind of hunched over. And I remember the nurse asked me if I wanted, you know, it was time to take a shower. And she was so sweet. I really liked her, and she was, what a wonderful person. And I was thinking, I don't think you really want to see me, you know, because she said, I can help you if you need help. If you don't think you can stand up, and you know, you can do this whole thing. And I was like, I look like Mr. Burns from The Simpsons, with a wound, flesh wound right here. I don't think you want to see that. So, I think I can do it on my own. So I was in the hospital for 10 days because the infection was so severe. So during that 10 days, I remember walking around the hospital. Somebody had given me a Life magazine, of famous expeditions throughout the history, and I was so inspired by that, and I just really wanted to get back into the woods, you know, get back in the wilderness and lead trips. And I remember walking, a really pathetic gown. You know, it was like humiliating. But walking down the hall with my IV stand, just thinking, wow, I am so thankful to be here. I never want to take this body for granted ever again. And just, I was amazed that I still had this ability to smell, to taste, to feel, to move. And I was able to walk, and I was alive. And at that moment, I thought to myself, I want to appreciate my life and this body as much as I can while I'm here. Thank you.